So I do actually have a confession to make.
Oh.
Well, two confessions. First, this one
Welcome
isn't
to
as
Cinema
relevant,
Chop
but
Shop.
I look at my own Facebook
Watch,
page more
shop,
than anybody else's.
Retrofit.
The second one is that I've been watching Letterkenny.
Oh.
Yeah, I binged the first season, and I'm on episode 2 of the second season.
Okay.
And it's very funny.
Okay.
But this is not a Skids, Hicks, or Hockey Players podcast. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop, Season 6, Episode 1. This is the season premiere of Cinema Chop Shop, Season 6. And this is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs
like us
decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is
Saint Travis of Lisieux, the Little Flower, a.k.a. Okay. Mother Travesa.
Oh, well, thank you. Mother Travesa of Calcutta. So yours are better than mine. The ones that you made up are better than the ones that okay. I got. And I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, the Sean of Bernadette, a.k.a. Seanspiracy of Hearts. In addition, we don't have any guests today, so it's just going to be the two of us. And we can make it if we try. Further description of the show, the tagline at the top says, Watch, Chop, Retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts. Quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of remakes and reboots and sequels. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
With that, we will go ahead and go into our first segment, which is going to be movie news. And when it's applicable, we start these off with RIPs. We're saying RIP to Shelley Morrison of Will and Grace fame. She was an actress who died at 83. Now, if I remember correctly, she was the housekeeper.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And then next up, we've got Studio Ghibli Library available for digital download for the very first time. It is Ghibli, not Ghibli, right?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with them.
Oh, no. It's the Miyazaki. Like, all of the Miyazaki anime movies are Studio Ghibli.
Gotcha.
Or Ghibli, whichever one is correct. That's the one I want you to leave in. So next, we talk a lot about Adam Driver on this show. His new movie with Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story, sweeps the Gotham Awards, winning Best Feature. And apparently several other awards. It is Adam Driver season, after all. We've got this, we've got The Report, and The Rise of Skywalker all on.
He's a busy man.
Yeah, for sure. Next up, this is a really fun story. Over 50,000 people signed a petition because they want Danny DeVito to play MCU's Wolverine. Which, I don't know how many of our listeners are Always Sunny fans, but that would be hilarious.
I would love it.
And I think somebody's got to do, he's got to do like a fan film or something. We talked a little bit about Elizabeth Banks' recent stinker, Charlie's Angels, which I say that I haven't seen it, but it did poorly. She's signed on to direct The Invisible Woman for Universal. Now, The Invisible Man is about to come out, also from Universal, and that's with girl from the Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, Moss.
Elizabeth Moss. Apparently, they're kind of sniffing around at starting back up this cinematic universe. They're probably not going to call it the Dark Universe, but I would like to see some actually good Universal monster movies. I don't know about you.
Well, that said, the jury's still out for me on Elizabeth Banks as a director.
Okay.
I like her as an actress. Mm-hmm. I like her as a game show host.
What game show does she host?
Press Your Luck.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's about ironing?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, speaking of Universal, also another story about them. M. Night Shyamalan talks about his upcoming weird and dark film projects with Universal, and they actually quoted weird and dark in the headline, which I think is a little bit of a nod to that,
yeah,
that failed, whatever you want to call it, endeavor that they tried a couple years ago. Apparently he's signed up for a 3-picture deal.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's what I read.
All right. Go for it. M. Night. And anything else that came across your radar this week?
No, that was it. It was a busy week.
Yeah. Compared to Thanksgiving. Yeah, yeah. Oh boy.
Everybody got back to work.
All right. Well, that will wrap us up for this week on Movie News, which brings us to our next segment, and we are patiently waiting for the phone to ring, and there it is. So it must be time for the Department of Corrections Department with Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
You know, Travis, there's an episode of Law & Order SVU that Marcia Gay Harden starred on with Mariska Hargitay. Her character's name was Dana. The World's Greatest Athlete featured Jan Michael Vincent. I think No Escape is the Owen Wilson movie set in a third world country. In 2014, Oscar Isaac was in a most violent year. Dominic Monaghan was in Atomica and Mute in recent years, and he hosts a show called Wild Things with Dominic Monaghan on the Travel Channel. That's the most recent thing I've seen him do. That's all, choppers. I'm off to crack into the House impeachment report.
All right. Well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you for really going above and beyond this year. We're going to sign a petition of our own to put you up for commendation. And also, I love the fact that you mentioned the film or TV show No Escape, because we're very familiar with that concept here. And that will close the doors on the Department of Corrections Department for this week, which brings us to the theme of the episode. This week, for reasons unbeknownst to me, we're doing nun movies, movies about sisters of the cloth. And Sean, will you give me a vague idea of why?
Well, I saw a movie a while back that I checked in on my movie marathon.
And okay.
It just occurred to me that there are quite a few movies
right?
that feature nuns as characters.
It's a genre we haven't covered yet.
Yeah.
Or a subgenre. Probably a subgenre of various genres, because you've got dramatic nun movies, you've got comedic nun movies, you've got musical nun movies, you've got flying nun TV shows. So yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about. And I guess with that, we'll go into the Midnight Double feature, right?
Sure.
And this is where we each pick two films that are within topic we're discussing, and this week, like we said, that is nun movies. And Sean, would you like to go first with yours, please,
sir? I would, thank you. These are two older films. As I mentioned, one of them I mentioned before, but I'll recap it second. The first is from 1947. It's called Black Narcissus.
Okay. I've seen reference to this.
This is a really cool movie. Just because of when it was made, they really pull no punches with regards to some of the plot points. After opening a convent in the Himalayas, five nuns encounter conflict and tension, both with the natives and also within their own group, as they attempt to adapt to their remote, exotic surroundings.
Okay.
Okay. Deborah Kerr's in this. David Farrar and Flora Robson are all in this.
Wait, what was the first name you said?
Deborah Kerr.
Okay. I thought you said Deborah Ford and then somebody Farrar. No, I was like, Ford versus Flora Ferrari. Robson.
No, no. And Kathleen Byron, sorry, plays the role of Sister Ruth. And unfortunately, she doesn't get higher billing in this, but she is a nun who, I guess I should back it up. It's in the Himalayas, so the conditions are rather harsh. It's always windy.
Okay.
And disclaimer, Gene Simmons, not that Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons, the actress who was in Spartacus.
Okay, yes.
Is in brown face in this film.
Oh.
Well, she was in Spartacus
as
well.
That's the Black Narcissus.
No, it's not. But she plays a local Himalayan girl who has the hots for the, I don't know if he's a Maharaja.
Okay.
Guy who's kind of vacillating between being a party boy and really wanting to commit to leading his people in a way that
a struggle we've all encountered.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the nuns are sent to this to start this school for the kids and hospital and all these things for this remote village. There is one white man in the group who is, he was there when they arrived. He's kind of like a handyman almost. He's a local, and he kind of tells them, you know, the monks tried to do this a few years back and they failed. You guys are not going to like it. You're going to fail too. Who's kind of instantly in conflict with Deborah Kerr's character.
He's really into himself.
No,
I mean, he only wears black suits.
No. So yeah, it's cool. It's worth watching. I mentioned the one nun played by Kathleen Byron. She goes crazy. When I say pull no punches, she goes flat ass crazy in these extreme environments. And the climax of the film is pretty good.
Okay.
Especially for a late 40s flick.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I was really surprised at just how, not graphic, but just how raw it was.
Very interesting. So, and so we're talking black and white.
No, it's color.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the other surprise. Yeah.
It
was
a color film. Decent cinematography. Were they like on location with the Himalayas?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. There are some backdrop paintings for some of the riskier effects shots. But I highly recommend checking it out. And I'm pairing that with The Devils. I'll keep this one short because I've already checked this in. It's about the nuns of Loudun.
Loudun.
Oliver Reed plays a bishop who he's been sent to Loudun and he's the hot stud and he is promiscuous. And without even ever meeting him, the nuns are just taken with his persona and his reputation. And they begin to exhibit possession. They're like, oh, we're possessed by demons.
Yes.
And they're in hysterics. And you can go back to the other episode that I mentioned it in just for a fuller synopsis. But things don't go well for Oliver Reed's character. Both really, really fine films. And I think that they both merit a viewing for sure. If you've never seen either one of them.
I have not. I did listen to that. I think it was last podcast about the Nuns of Loudun.
Yeah, Zabrowski did a great job of talking about the film too, even though he said that Oliver Reed looked like a human hangover.
All right, well, enough about them. I'll go with my midnight double feature. I went a different route with mine. I went very, very musical in my choices, because when you think about nuns, you think about music, right? And so the first one is, of course, The Sound of Music from 1965. It's got an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, considered to be a classic, I believe. Robert Wise was the director. Is it Wise or Weiss? W-I-S-E. I'd say Wise. A tuneful, heartwarming story. It's based on the real-life story of the Von Trapp family singers, one of the world's best-known concert groups in the era immediately preceding World War II. Julie Andrews plays the role of Maria, the tomboyish postulant at an Austrian abbey who becomes a governess of the home and of the widowed naval captain and his seven children. Brings new love of life and music. She brings new love of life and music into their homes. Whether you love or hate musicals, you can't discount this movie's indelible imprint on culture. Like, there's songs in this movie that everybody knows. Do Re Mi, that's in the movie. The Hills Are Alive, you know.
I have a personal story.
Okay, go for it.
When I was in second grade, this would be 1980.
Okay.
We were told as a class that we were going to get to watch The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
At school.
Yeah.
The same year that it was in cinematic release.
Mm.
So we were all excited. We're going to get to watch The Empire Strikes Back. So we all go to the library, and they proceed to show us the 30-minute long inside the special effects of Empire Strikes Back special that was later broadcast on TV.
Mm.
And then they proceeded to show us The Sound of Music.
Do you think it was like somebody's screw up? They were like, yeah, I totally have it.
No. That was a lure.
They were conning you guys.
They conned us into watching The Sound of Music.
All right.
Well, I was so pissed.
I can see how you have like personal feelings about that, but
and nuns.
I kind of like the movie.
No, I'm just kidding. It's a fine movie.
Then I'm pairing that up with a very differently themed but also similarly grouped movie. This is called Sister Act from 1981. Is that right?
That can't be right.
That's not right. Probably 91. We'll check that out. Dana, it's got an 85% on Rotten Tomatoes. No way. I think I've got some things in here from my last week's notes. All right, so for my second movie, I'm going with Sister Act with Whoopi Goldberg. She's a lively lounge singer named Dolores Van Cartier. She sees her mobster beau, Vince LaRocca, played by Harvey Keitel, commit a murder. She's relocated for her protection, set up in the guise of a nun in a California convent. Dolores proceeds to upend the quiet lives of the resident sisters, and in an effort to keep her out of trouble, they assign Dolores to the convent's choir, an ensemble that she soon turns into a vibrant and soulful act that gains widespread attention. What's our year?
It came out in 92.
92.
And this was the first time that many of us were exposed to Kathy and Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
And she was so good in that movie.
Yes.
And then the sequel came out 1 year after.
Back in the Habit.
Yeah, 93. So they really took advantage of the popularity and cranked that one out.
And the do you have the director there?
The director is Emile Ardolino.
All right. So yeah, Emile Ardolino directed this one. I actually loved this movie as a kid. We watched it on VHS probably until the wheels fell off.
Sure.
When I was a kid.
And Maggie Smith was the Mother Superior.
Yes.
Oh, so
now,
good.
The woman that you mentioned, did she was later in Hocus Pocus?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. So there's one other actress in the movie, and she's like the young nun who they figure out has an amazing beautiful voice.
Oh, right, right.
But they
right.
actually dubbed her voice over with a different singer.
Oh, really?
For the singing parts. But I always kind of had the hots for her.
I think that
was young nun.
According to IMDb, I think that might be Wendy McKenna.
Wendy McKenna? Possibly.
Robert.
But yeah. So yeah, Sister Act and The Sound of Music. It's going to be my double feature.
That'll be entertaining.
None Your Business.
None Your Business.
That will wrap us up for this week's Midnight Double Feature and bring us to our feature segment, which is the recast. Now, this is the main exercise of the show here. We predetermine a couple of movies that are within our topic, and then we hypothetically recast those films with actors from today. And we take turns telling each other about who we picked for these roles. And the first film that we're going to talk about is, I think, another classic.
I agree.
A classic Western tough guy comedy.
I call it a comedy because it's got its funny moments.
Two Meals for Sister Sarah.
Clint Eastwood, hero for hire, blazes his way across a land of lust and injustice. Mr. Action himself.
Well, I'll blow it to hell and gone with the train on it.
Clint Eastwood has a fistful of dynamite and a handful of trouble.
I've just about had a belletful of this little two-hour Easter.
I am listening to you, but I have my mind on my men. All you have on yours is money.
They'd have to open the trap door if they had another prisoner. The French want me very badly. Why don't you turn me over and ask for a reward?
You know what you're talking about. It's crazy, Sarah.
The hell wants to see you dressed?
The least you can do is take off your hat.
I haven't got time for that.
A movie that's crazy one moment, revolutionary the next.
Viva Mexico Libre!
But always spectacular.
One last swallow and it's up to you, Doc.
The most amazing adventure that ever set two rebels on fire.
You better go.
Bad time for a war.
Rough, ruthless. Mercenary. Clint Eastwood declares war, and the Foreign Legion in Mexico never knows what hit them.
To attack now would be suicide.
But Clint is a one-man suicide squad, the most exciting Clint Eastwood picture ever made.
From 1970, it was directed by Don Siegel, who also directed Dirty Harry, Escape from Alcatraz, and The Beguiled, all of which Clint Eastwood was in. It's got a 64% on Rotten Tomatoes. So speaking of the comedic premise of this film, when gunslinger Hogan discovers a group of men attempting to rape a young nun, Sarah, Shirley MacLaine, he shoots them dead and rescues the woman. The two escape to a nearby camp of Mexican revolutionaries who have hired Hogan to help fight the invading French army. En route, Sarah turns out to be surprisingly crude for a nun, drinking, smoking, and using curse words. When she also proves to be handy with a gun, Hogan begins wondering if she's telling him the whole truth. So Shirley MacLaine plays Sarah, and she actually got billing over Clint Eastwood in this film. I guess her star was shining bright enough at that time in their careers. And she was 34 at the time playing Sarah. And then Clint Eastwood was 40 playing Hogan. And it really seems like a similar character to his Man Without a Name from the Fistful of Dollars
High Plains Drifter trilogy and all that business. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we've also got Colonel Beltran, who was played by Manolo Fabregas. Manolo Fabregas. And he was 49 at the time. Now, it's been a while since either of us have seen this, but I generally have a pretty good feeling about this movie. I would say that it's a recommend from me.
Yeah, I like this movie, and it's there. You know, what's left out in the summary is that you know, Clint Eastwood's character is not savvy to what nuns are really like.
Right.
So a lot of her crassness and crudeness goes over his head because he does not realize that they're supposed to be prim and proper and buttoned down. And then, of course, the other is that the colonel character, he's hardly a colonel. It's kind of like a ragtag bunch of, you know,
guerrillas.
Guerrilla mercenary types, yeah.
So all right.
A lot of fun stuff. I enjoyed this movie years and years ago at my dad's recommendation.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah,
same here. I think my mom likes it as well. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into recasting. First up, we've got Sarah, played by Shirley MacLaine, who was 34 at the time. And Sean, who did you have in mind for this role?
I picked an actress who is 38 years old.
Okay.
And I picked her largely because she is a redhead. And that recently she directed last week's episode of The Mandalorian.
Oh, nice.
But she's also a talented actress in her own right. She was in Arrested Development.
Uh-huh.
She was in Rocket Man. And she was in the Jurassic World films.
Jessica Chastain.
No, Bryce Dallas Howard, Ronnie Howard's daughter.
Yeah, that episode was really good. And I didn't know ahead of time that she was the director until the credits rolled. Speaking of, no spoilers on episode 5 because I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't watched it yet either. All right, I heard good. It was a tepid episode, which sounds like it might just be a bridge episode to kind of lead us into next week's.
Gotcha. All right, well, my actress is 35 now. She was in a movie called In Time with JT. She was also in Cowboys versus Aliens. Get it? Cowboys versus Aliens, the French invaders and the cowboy. Yes,
I get you.
She's in Butter, and she also directed a recent film that we both loved. It was called Booksmart. I went with Olivia Wilde.
I considered her.
Olivia Wilde is going to be my sister, Sarah, who's got a couple of mules coming to her. All right, next up, we've got Hogan. He's the hero. And he was played by Clint Eastwood, who was 40 at the time. And what do you think, Sean?
I went with an actor who's 43.
Okay.
And he has been in The Wolf of Wall Street. Baby Driver, The Accountant, and Fury, but most people would know him from his roles in The Walking Dead, as well as The Punisher. It's John Bernthal.
Oh, yeah. He's good. He's real good.
Tough guy, which is what you want for this part.
Yeah, for sure. All right. That's way better than mine. You win that one.
Oh, really?
Because,
okay.
I had never heard of this guy. I just went on age and face value. So he is also 40 now. He was in mostly TV stuff. He's in Secret Obsession. He's in Under the Dome, which I have heard of.
Yes.
And also The Brave. And then Bates Motel. He's in Bates Motel as well. His name is Mike Vogel. Mike Vogel is going to be my High Plains Drifter.
Well, there's definitely some face value to that.
And age.
Yeah.
And you can tell I didn't know who he was because I put his name on my visual aids. Next up, we've got the ragtag Colonel Beltran, played by Manolo
Fabregas.
Manolo Fabregas, who was a Spanish-born Mexican actor. And he was 49 at the time. Who is your pick, sir?
My actor is 50 years old, and he was born in Santiago, Chile.
Hmm.
And he has a varied career as well as varied weight.
Hmm.
Most people know him in his heavier days, but he's gotten rather thin and fit. He was in the movie, the horrible movie, Year One, the horrible movie, Road Trip, the even worse movie, Boat Trip. He was also in Bachelorette. Good God, man. Pick your movies better.
Who is it?
He was in a recent episode of The Mandalorian.
Hmm.
He can be seen in a TV series called Black Monday. Most people would know him, though, from his time at Saturday Night Live. It's Horatio Sanz.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Interesting. My actor is 43 now, a little bit younger. He's in End of Watch. He's in Chips. He was in Fury. And he's also in The Mule with Clint Eastwood. It's Michael Peña.
I see what you did there.
Michael Peña is going to be my Colonel Beltran.
I like Michael Peña. He's good.
Yeah, he's really good. But I did find out that I'm slightly racist, and I thought that he was the guy next door in Next Friday who's like, hundreds and fitties, big fucking titties. But it's not the same guy. But I learned that today, and I'm making amends for it. What else do we need to say about Two Mules for Sister Sarah?
If you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor and watch it. I know it's only a 64 rating, and that's probably accurate, but it's an entertaining movie.
Yeah, I'd give it 70s.
Yeah.
1970. All right, well, yeah, I'd say recommend as well. It's kind of nostalgic for me for probably the same reasons as you, watching it as a kid with your parents. All right, so with that, we are going to go ahead and go into our intermission. But not before we say, let's all go to the Abbey. Let's all go to the Abbey. Let's all go to the Abbey and get ourselves a rosary. All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis. And I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under review.
Like making a whole pyramid scheme, get the people under them to do it, and multiply.
A Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right, folks. Thank you for bearing with us during intermission. And welcome back. We are going to go ahead and do our beer check-in. We opened one just now. And what is it, Sean?
This is from Resident Culture. It's called Wild Light. It is a wild lager.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately...
It's got good flavor.
It's got great flavor, but unfortunately, I guess it was a miscapped bottle because there is no carbonation.
Yeah.
So it's a flat beer, so we can't really accurately discuss it and right. judge it, but...
We'll check it in here on the show, but maybe not do an untapped check-in.
But, I mean, outside of no carb, I think it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a little bit of a sour kick, as yep. you'd expect from the wild yeast. It's based on a Helles-style lager. And, you know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because I love everything that I've had from these guys.
Resident Culture. And where are they out of?
They're in Charlotte.
Very nice. All right, well, while we sip on that a little bit, let's go ahead and get into the 2019 movie marathon. It is the 340th day of the year as of this recording. And what we try to do, I should have said this earlier, what we try to do is see as many movies as we can throughout the calendar year. The end game is 365, but Sean, you're well past the date. What is your number? What are you on?
I slowed down a lot. I'm on 374.
374. So you're on the home stretch. You can just kind of coast.
This is all gravy.
Yeah, very good. I'm on 336, so I'm four behind the date. I did fall off a little bit. I blame Thanksgiving. but my first check-in, I actually watched this with the Googe, and he was a perfect gentleman house guest while he was here over the past few days. This is a mindfuck movie. It is called Daniel Isn't Real. It's from 2019. My review says, absolutely jarring psychological thriller, or is it supernatural, with outstanding performances from Miles Robbins, who is the son of Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon, also Patrick Schwarzenegger, who is the son of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver, and then Sasha Lane, who... We saw in, or I don't know if you saw it, American Honey with Shia LaBeouf.
I haven't watched that yet.
It's actually pretty good, too. Yeah, not as good as Peanut Butter Falcon, mind you. This movie is good, too, but it's really fucked up. It's about this guy who resurrects his childhood imaginary friend to deal with a trauma. And the imaginary friend starts kind of taking more control of situations. Really fucked up psychologically, maybe supernaturally, but also visually, like visually stunning. Really great special effects.
So it's a better version of Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if Drop Dead Fred was serious and scary.
Okay.
Yeah. And what's going to be your first check-in for this week, Sean?
I'm checking in for my first two, a couple of Bette Davis films. From the Criterion Channel.
Ah, there you go.
And this one is from 1932. It's called Three on a Match. And this is a cautionary tale about living it up too much.
Three on a Match.
It's about three friends who went to elementary school together, three mm-hmm. women, and they are reunited later on in life. And...
In a UFC fight?
What?
Or is it a matchstick?
More like a matchstick kind okay. of thing. It's an odd progression, though, of time. Like, they cover a lot of time, and the film's only like an hour and 10 minutes long. But they cover a lot of time through newspaper headlines
gotcha.
And what year it is. However, there's a child actor in the film, and he doesn't age at all.
Huh.
But they pass through like about at least 5 or 6 years.
Maybe it's a chromosomal issue.
It's pretty neat, though. A very early Bette Davis film, as well as for Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, okay. Cool. And,
so there you go.
Recommend?
No. If you're a completist, this
a Bette Davis completist.
Yeah, this is like an early like she's not into her wheelhouse just yet.
Gotcha. Okay. Speaking of wheelhouse, my next check-in is number 334, and it's called QT8, The First Eight, and it is a documentary about the career and first eight films from Quentin Tarantino. It includes tons of interviews with his mainstays, his stable of actors that he likes to work with, and also all kinds of behind-the-scenes footage. I really enjoyed it. I gave it 5 stars because there's no reason not to. I did like, especially, that they did not shy away from addressing the Weinstein relationship, they pretty much hit it head on, which is good. You got to get out in front of something like that if you're talking about the full span of his career.
Sure, absolutely. And that's true of a lot of people, I would imagine. So many people cross paths with that guy.
Yes. All right, so you opened another beer.
Yeah, this one is from our friends in Charleston at Frothy Beard Brewing, and it's not on theme.
We know those guys.
Yeah, we do. It's not on theme for the episode, but it is on theme for the podcast. It's called Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good.
Ghostbusters? Very nice. So the big news about Ghostbusters, we didn't cover this in movie news, but the poster for the new Jason Reitman iteration of Ghostbusters came out today, and apparently I think next week there's going to be a trailer. They've concluded shooting, and it is going to be a direct sequel to Ghostbusters 2, ignoring the events of Ghostbusters Ladies version.
So this beer, you've got the can over there. It's an IPA.
Beautiful can art.
It's brewed with lactose and marshmallows. And dry hopped with what? I can't read that far, Travis.
I can tell you right now, I was a little bit apprehensive about the marshmallows because I'm not a big sweets guy, but it's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's hopped with Vic's Secret and Racao hops.
Cool. I like it. It's got a nice, soft, creamy quality to it. And
I had never heard of Vic's Secret hops.
Yeah, it's casually
it gives
called,
me the vapors.
It's casually called Victoria's Secret.
Oh, I get it.
All right, so while you're enjoying that and formulating your opinion.
I love it already.
Oh, well then, never mind. I'm going to check in my second Bette Davis film. This one's called Hell's House. I say Bette Davis. She's not the star. The star of this film is Junior Durkin. And there's a great story behind this actor. First of all, he's a child actor. And he was in Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn.
Okay.
Opposite Jackie Coogan of Charlie Chaplin, the kid fame, yes. As well as Uncle Fester of Addams Family.
Yes.
Okay, so in this movie, he plays a kid, he's an orphan, and he finds a job with the guy who he really looks up to. The guy's a bootlegger. He happens to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, gets arrested, he gets thrown into juvenile industrial school. The guy he looks up to won't step up and say, it's my place, I'm the guy responsible. So this poor kid, you know, squanders 2 years of his life in this boys' school. And it's right. Horrible, deplorable working conditions. His best friend dies, and he escapes so he can go to the editor-in-chief of the newspaper and bust the story wide open.
So it's like if the Artful Dodger got caught pickpocketing where he would go.
Pretty much. So it's okay. It's a fine film. But the real interesting thing about the story about Junior Durkin,
I just can't get over his name.
Junior Durkin?
It sounds like an off-brand of pickles.
He was best friends with Jackie Coogan, his co-star.
Jackie Coogan and Junior Durkin were living it up, man. I'm telling you. Running around town, smoking cigars, smacking cocktail waitresses on the ass.
So one summer, he was visiting Jackie Coogan in San Diego. And Jackie,
I'm imagining them as kids.
No, they're like I would say late teens at this point.
Okay.
And Jackie Coogan was given a car for a gift by his dad.
Is he old enough to drive?
Yeah. And it's Coogan, Durkin, Coogan's dad, and someone else. And
Hogan.
And Coogan loses control of the car, flips the car.
Whoa.
Kills everybody in the car.
Whoa.
Except for Jackie Coogan.
Spoilers.
Yeah. This poor actor was just, he was cut down in the prime of life. They compare him to a young Henry Fonda.
Hmm.
Just to give you an idea of just how charismatic and likable this
young
guy
was.
Wait.
That happened in real life?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying in the movie.
No.
Whoa,
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is a true
tragic
story. Yeah.
I did not mean to make light of it.
No, it's okay. You didn't know, and it's been a long time. But
I'm already over it.
I was really interested in this actor, and I went to look him up to see, and I was like, oh shit, the guy just died like right after this movie a couple of years later.
Junior Durkin. All right. Well, my next check-in is going to be Okay, so I'm a little bit conflicted about this just because of the filmmaker himself. It is recommended to me by Marco. Throw him under the bus. number 335 is called A Rainy Day in New York. Opinions about Woody Allen as a person notwithstanding, he is a great filmmaker, and this gem is no exception. A youthful cast delivers and seem to represent Allen at various stages of his life. You've got all these interacting characters, and they all seem like they might be a different version of Woody Allen in their personalities, even some of the female characters.
When did this come out?
It did not get an American release.
Oh, yes. Oh. Is this one of the Amazon deals?
I'm not 100% sure on that, but it does star Timothée Chalamet and Selena Gomez and several other recognizable people.
And the release date was when?
It's a 2019 film.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
A Rainy Day in New York. There's also a few references to the Gustave Caliban painting, A Rainy Day in Paris, or Rainy Street, Paris Afternoon, whatever. So, you know, Woody Allen likes his fine art. So, yeah, I am going to recommend it with my caveat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Buyer beware. my last check-in will be Near Dark from 1987. I was telling you about this the other night. This is Kathryn Bigelow's second feature.
Right. Okay, so Kathryn Bigelow, Point Break.
Hurt Locker.
The Hurt Locker also was married to James Cameron and famously beat him out at the Oscars.
Yes. Yes, exactly. This is a vampire/horror/western flick. It stars, among others, Bill Paxton and, oh shit, I'm blanking on the name.
Give me a clue.
The dude from Alien, the dude from Millennium.
Oh, goodness.
Erickson.
Yeah, Leif Erickson.
No, not Leif Erickson.
Henriksen. Lance Henriksen. Yes.
Anyway, very stylish late 80s vampire flick. Would make a great double feature with Lost Boys.
Okay. Just I thought you were going to say Once Bitten.
No. Make a good double feature with The Lost Boys. It has the same tone. The music was by Tangerine Dream.
And there you go. All
that
right.
Really, really
sold
put,
it for you.
It really put a bow on the film because nice. I didn't look it up until afterwards. The whole film, I was like, well, this music's really, really appropriate. Really, okay. Really good. It ranges from being very new agey to industrial kind of sounding. And then when I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, this makes sense. So, well-crafted, simple vampire flick.
Well, my lovely wife, Michelle,
drink,
would appreciate that because, as you know, she chose The Lost Boys as her pick for Scary Movie Night this past Halloween. Quit living in the past, Travis. Halloween's over, man.
They're maggots, Michael.
And
hey, let's open up a beer.
We got another beer coming at us.
This is from Googe.
The Googe.
It's from Odell Brewing Company. It's Barreled Treasure Imperial Stout, barrel aged with cold brew coffee.
What the hell's going on with your treasure trail there, buddy? Are you familiar with the brewery?
Yeah,
Odell?
Absolutely.
He said that they were one of the more respected breweries in
these his, guys have been area. Around for a long time. Yeah. They're good.
And we will enjoy that. And while we do...
Do you have one more check-in?
No, I don't. I've done three. I did Daniel Isn't Real, QT8, and A Rainy Day in New York. Have you seen any of those three?
I have not.
Ooh, okay. Well, they're all three recommends from me.
Very good. I would recommend Near Dark. I would recommend Hell's House and a very mild Take It or Leave It on three on a match.
All right. So that's a recommend on Motel Hell from Sean. And with that, we're going to go ahead and go into the second part of our feature segment, which is The Recast Continued.
Part two.
The Confessional. And
Hail Mary.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace.
Hail Mary, full of Grace Jones. Was that the title of our Grace Jones episode?
I don't know.
So the movie is not a classic. It is not classy. It is from 1990, and it is called Nuns on the Run.
Brian and Charlie were a couple of average, hardworking gangsters.
shot Louis, you twerp!
Who'd had enough?
I really hate this bank job.
No insurance?
No job security?
You want to work for somebody else?
No.
No.
Now, what we ought to do is steal the money for ourselves.
Ryan, they're
gonna
kill you!
Let go of me! You're trying to commit a major crime!
No.
Hold it!
Are you off your trolley?
Throw them bags over here.
They'll need more than divine inspiration.
We're out of gas!
You stupid dummy!
They'll need a miracle.
What is this place? We'll never get to the airport. The place will be crawling with cops. What are we going to do?
And what is your name?
Sister Inviolata of the Immaculate Conception.
And yours?
Sister Euphemia of the Five Wounds.
Five Wounds, for short.
They're nuns undercover.
How do I look?
Do nuns usually wear makeup?
It's our day off.
Nuns in luck.
We run a teacher training college for 18 to 22-year-old girls.
You have experience? Of 18-year-old girls, yes, plenty.
Nuns in hot water.
We all share bathrooms and showers, of course. We don't tolerate nudity in any shape or form, especially our shape.
Nuns out of bounds.
Oh, we just love exercise.
And nuns off their rockers.
Got any booze?
But most of all,
I want Brian and Charlie.
Fade!
They're nuns on the run.
From now on, it's every nun for himself.
Eric Idle.
You'll never get away with this.
Robbie Coltrane.
This is our only chance to go straight.
You call this going straight?
Nuns on the Run. The story of an immaculate deception.
Nuns on the Run was directed by Jonathan Lynn, which I do want to note, he actually had some other films that were decent. He directed My Cousin Vinny. He also directed Clue and The Fighting Temptations.
Fantastic.
But this film has a 47% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Rightfully so.
My review was, this guy's got some good movies under his belt, so why is this so bad? We've got these two gangsters.
Yes.
And they get set up on a job by their boss who's trying to knock them off.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they find this out, they run off with the loot and try to disguise themselves as nuns in a local training convent.
Incredibly implausible.
Yes.
Plot.
I mean,
however, you know, this is 1990.
Yes.
Not 3 years later, Mrs. Doubtfire becomes a beloved film,
mm-hmm.
which I still to this day don't understand.
Yeah. Well, it's just Robin Williams and his unmitigated charisma and comedic charm.
Well, that's the thing, though. I think Eric Idle and Robbie Coltrane are hilarious in their
they
own
way. They are, too, but this just wasn't the right time.
It wasn't the right time. They needed that extra 3 years of incubation.
So speaking of the cast, we've got Robbie Coltrane, who was 40 at the time, playing Charlie McManus, a.k.a. Sister Inviolata of the Immaculate Conception. Then we've got Eric Idle of Monty Python fame, who was 47 at the time, as Brian Hope, a.k.a. Sister Euphemia of the Five Wounds. And then we also have Camille Koduri, Camille Koduri is playing Faith Thomas. I thought that was interesting that his last name was Hope and her first name was Faith. Also, there's a little Life of Brian reference there, too.
Yep.
Also, George Harrison has a song on the soundtrack for this movie, and he was the producer of Life of Brian. George Harrison.
Unbelievable.
The Beatles. What else? What else do we need to say about Nuns on the Run?
It's a silly film.
Very silly. They also not safe for work. Just because there's nuns in it doesn't mean that you can watch it at work. So let's get into it. First up, we've got Robbie Coltrane. Oh, I do want to say this. My setup is I'm envisioning it as a sequel.
Oh, okay.
All right. So it's the same characters, but several years later, and they're down in Brazil, and the son of their former boss has tracked them down to Brazil. So once again, they have to pose as nuns, but this time it's in a Brazilian convent. All right?
Gotcha.
So I'm going to go first.
You go.
My actor is considerably older. He's 58 now, so I guess it's been 18 years. He's in the fantasy TV show Gallivant. He's also in a TV show called Extras, and he was on the OG The Office. I went with Ricky Gervais.
Nice.
Ricky Gervais is going to be the somewhat older but not much more mature character named Charlie McManus, a.k.a. Sister Inviolata of the Immaculate Conception.
My actor is 47 years old.
Okay.
And it seemed like a natural for me, although I do like the Ricky Gervais and your idea of doing a sequel years later.
Oh, it's going to be called Nuns on the Run 2, Still Running. Run This Town, a.k.a. None Your Business.
Running is a habit.
Oh, yeah. Habitual offenders.
All right, so this actor, he was in Attack the Block. Love that movie.
Yeah, I love Attack the Block also.
He is in pre-production for a TV series called Truth Seekers.
Hmm.
He was in the film Paul.
Wait, about the alien?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I gotcha. Love it.
He was in The World's End and Shaun of the Dead. It's Nick Frost.
Oh, I just got a chill. Nick Frost, he's the icing on the cake, dude. That's great. That actually is pretty perfect.
I think both of our picks are awesome.
Next up, we've got the role played by Eric Idle. It was Brian Hope, a.k.a. the sister Euphemia of the Five Wounds. And Eric Idle was 47. My actor's 54 now. So right around the right age for the time to have passed in the timeline that is the Nuns on the Run franchise / universe that's going to be built around this. I've always considered him kind of like a lost python or maybe a next-gen python. He was in Hamlet 2.
Oh, yes.
He's in Philomena. He's in The Trip. And most people know him as Alan Partridge. It's Steve Coogan.
He's so funny.
And he's python-esque. I don't care who you are. I think he's python-esque. Haven't really seen anything that he's done that I disliked.
Hamlet 2 is one of those highly underrated
movies. Absurd.
That I love.
It's so funny. Next, we've got Sean's pick for Sister Euphemia.
All right, so...
Euphemia?
I don't know. Idle was 47. My guy's 49. He has been in such things as the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance TV series. He was in Slaughterhouse Rules.
Okay.
He did some voice work for Lego Star Wars. But I'll get to the good stuff. He also is in pre-production for Truth Seekers. He was in Star Trek The Reboot. He was in Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and World's End. It's there Simon Pegg.
I like the pairing. I like it. That's very good. I miss Spaced.
Oh, God, Spaced is so good. And Dana's probably going to freak out because she loves it, too.
It's such a good show. Next, we've got the role of Faith Thomas, who somehow, even though she's only 25, is just head over heels in love for Eric Idle's character, Brian. And he has to, like, break up with her a couple of times. He even lies to her and tells her that he's married, even though he's not. But she was played by Camille Koduri.
Mm-hmm.
Camille Koduri. And what did you say you also know her from?
She did a couple of seasons on Doctor Who.
Okay. But what's the doctor's name?
Who?
That's what I'm asking you.
What?
Who? This is not a bird movies podcast.
That was a few weeks ago.
So 25 now. My actress is 39. Hint. Go ahead.
What?
Who's your pick?
Have you not done yours?
No.
Why are you skipping?
Oh, did you do yours already?
No, I'm going to do mine now if you insist, but I thought that was
The order is I go first. My bad. Okay, so my actress is a little bit older now because this is a sequel. She's really more talented than I think mainstream America knows. She was in The Laundromat, the recent The Laundromat. She's also in The Ode to Joy, which is also new. She was in a great parody of women's figure skating called The Bronze.
Oh, God,
But
yes.
A lot of people like her from The Big Bang Theory. Her name is Melissa Rauch. Melissa Rauch.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
For years, she did the VH1 I Love the 80s TV show. Remember that? No. She was on that all the time. She's so good.
Yes, I do remember that show, but I don't remember her being on it.
I wish they would show that on reruns, please.
Yeah. On
instead of Love and Hip Hop or whatever, please just show that. That was a great show.
All right, who's your pick?
All right, this actress, and more realistically, she is 48 years old.
Oh, wow.
No, 47. Yes, more realistic.
She's older than my sequel recast lady.
Well, she's in line with my recast for Brian. Brian's 49.
All right.
She Brian was in a film called Beyond Borders, Late Night Shopping, The House Paradiso, things that you don't
that
know.
That means the Paradise House.
She's got a couple of miniseries on BBC, but you would know her from Shaun of the Dead. It's Kate Ashfield.
Oh, yeah.
So nice. Basically, I took the Shaun of the Dead and threw them together.
That's good. I like it. So we both went with kind of a British slant.
Oh, and very
until my last my last pick.
Yeah,
not really a recommend until 2023 when Nuns on the Run 2: Habitual Offenders comes out in theaters.
There you go. That's the movie.
And you can check that one out.
By the way, that beer is really good.
The Odell's.
I'm
loving it. Here, have some more.
Googe, man, you did
came
us
through,
right.
Googe.
Yep.
Like we said, not a recommend on that. And that's going to bring us to our bonus segment. It's going to be a honey roast of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Not really, but I do appreciate what she did for all those leopards. She cured them of their spots. My Battle Royale bonus segment is going to be Sister Mary Stigmata from the Blues Brothers.
Nice.
Versus Sister Fernanda from The Little Hours, played by Aubrey Plaza.
Love it.
Versus Sister Bertrill, the Flying Nun, who was, of course, played by
Sally Field.
All right, you go first, sir.
They all win.
Because they're married to Jesus?
They're married to Jesus. They're united in their front. They turn on the referee and just go to hell with him, just spanking him with their rulers.
Wait, there's a referee now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, how do you know who wins?
Last person alive wins.
No, they will not do harm to one another. Instead, they just wrap the knuckles of the referee.
All right. I think that Sister Stigmata will start it off. She's gonna get the first few hits because she's got that yardstick, and she's all about the corporal punishment.
She's Chicago tough.
However, Sister Fernanda, played by Aubrey Plaza in The Little Hours, is straight up psycho. She's wielding an axe in this picture,
and she swears,
and she does swear and smoke and drink. But the Flying Nun is gonna fly out of there.
Yeah, she's got flight.
She's gonna get away with it. Or get away from there. And so I'm going with Fernanda. Fernanda's going to straight up axe everybody.
Okay.
And then Sister Wendy comes in and teaches everyone about classical art. With that, we are going to go ahead and wrap it up. I want to thank the engineer. Thank you, sir. My co-host, co-producer, and engineer.
You got it, man.
Thank you for doing everything you do. Next week's episode, do you know what it is?
Oh my God, this thing's been moved around so many times.
I bet
times.
You don't know what it is.
It's the Bette Midler episode.
I bet you do.
It's the Bette Midler episode.
And we actually had to shuffle a couple things around, and hopefully, Lord willing, Chelsea's going to be here with some picks.
She better be.
For the Bette Midler movies, because we accommodated her. But I do have a trivia question about Bette Midler. And I told you this before the show tonight. Have you been ruminating and marinating?
Yeah.
All right. So, question. Bette Midler was the final guest on this program on May 21st, 1992.
God, I want to say the facts of life, but that's not right.
Okay. If I told you it was on NBC without
Alf.
Help. No.
Cheers.
She was the final guest on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Oh, I was thinking like sitcom. Okay.
In his penultimate episode, he had Robin Williams on first and then Bette Midler. And then in his final episode the following day, he had no guests.
Yes.
So that is your sneak preview question and answer for the upcoming episode of
Right Answers with Wrong Travis.
Your weekly trivia contest at Seminar Brewing. All right, we want to plug the podcast itself, right?
Yes.
We want you to rate, review, and subscribe to us on whatever it is you're listening. Either that or go on Facebook and Twitter. Give us a like. Give us a subscription. I found out that you can just listen to our show by clicking on the link on Twitter. You can listen to it through Twitter.
I want to go full on Fight Club, though. I want you to go up to five strangers and force them to listen to the podcast.
Yes. And so our Twitter is at Cinema Chop Shop. Our Facebook is Cinema Chop Shop. And our Gmail is Cinema Chop Shop. Also, the beers, the several beers that we checked in today.
It's just three.
One, two, three. Oh, you're right. Damn it.
Do you have double vision now?
We'll be checked in on Untappd, UNTAPPD. And as always, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And please remember to
watch chop, retrofit. Say your prayers.